pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Almost speechless. And if you know me, that's pretty rare. But thanks, Brian. But, you know, first of all, I just want to thank the church. As Jeff said, you know, me standing here, it's not me at all. First, obviously, it's God, but it really is the church. So many of you that have just been there for the last 22 years with me, the last 13 with Crystal and I, and loved us and served us, helped us, believed in us. So many great talks, just great times, great memories. Many adventures, you know, here at this building and at every hotel in town, and camps and camping trips, and, you know, camping trips that got hurricaned out, you know, just so many great things, the ups and the downs, through the good times and through the challenging times. You guys have been there as family. And I do want to thank also my physical family. They're going to be here at the 11 a.m. service, but I want to thank my dad just for teaching me how to be a provider. He gave me a great work ethic, and I'm sure he didn't feel that way when I was young, but it was instilled at times by force. But my dad, even yesterday, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but he's always eager to jump in and help when others are in need. I want to thank my mom for giving me my faith in God. Just as Timothy in the Bible received his faith from his mother and his grandmother, I received my faith from my mother, my grandmother's. Thank my mom for teaching me compassion for others. She's always one to take care of others as well. For years, she helped an elderly neighbor down our street. She'd just go down. She didn't get paid. She didn't get anything. She just went and served this woman. She was a caregiver for my grandmother for years before my grandmother passed away. I want to thank my brother Jeff and Shanna, his wife. Where'd he go? There he is. I want to thank Jeff. Jeff reached out to my mom and I first and wasn't afraid to share what the Bible said. I want to thank him for being a faithful example, a faithful man of God. Even when I wasn't, he was. I want to thank my mother-in-law, Nora, just for being the greatest Nana in the world. And just being a great example of sacrifice. I mean, she sacrifices for our kids and for the church. I mean, she's always here decorating or serving and cleaning up the kitchen, and to where she can barely walk sometimes afterwards. She serves tirelessly. Thanks to the rest of my family. Some of them will be here later as well, and they've just played a great role in shaping us. And I do want to thank a few special people in the church, and of course, everyone is special, and I wish I had time to mention everybody. I could probably go through the whole membership and thank you all for something, but a few that I wanted to mention was Heidi and Dan, and just been there for us, studied the Bible when I got restored, and studied the Bible with my wife, and just great, great friends. Leroy and Edna have been there for me all through the years. Even when I left the church, when Crystal and I got married, Leroy prayed at our wedding. When we moved back, Leroy helped us in moving, and just a great family. Brian and Danielle Gross, just for being some of our best friends in the world. Kurt and Patty Simmons, for believing in us from the start. Vincent Robin Hawkins, John and Barry Lusk, the Prices, Tink and Lou and your families, the Cars, the Potts, the Hoveys, Jeff and Lori, just for their vision for us and for the church, for our city. Thank you guys for your friendship and your partnership in the gospel. And as I said, so many more that I wish I had time to mention right now. I want to thank our students. You guys are the reason that we do what we do. And you guys are amazing. And I know some of you will be standing here one day and doing what I'm doing. And then finally, second to last, I want to thank my beautiful, amazing, and talented wife. Without her, I would not be here. She's actually the spiritual one in the family. She's the one that's, hey, you know, whatever's going on, we need to pray, you know, and brings me back to God. She's the Proverbs 31 woman, a wife of noble character. Finally, I want to thank our Heavenly Father. And I don't deserve to even be a doormat in God's kingdom, but He loves me, and He's called this prodigal son home. And amen. Before I jump into my lesson this morning, I wanted to share about something else and just kind of, you know, thanking God, but I want to share about God's faithfulness. And as Steve mentioned earlier, you know, the storms that came through this weekend, you know, Satan always is coming after us and attacking, but I think God is also always testing us. And as he allowed Job to be tested, he allows us to be tested. And this weekend, as the storms came through, Crystal and I were here. We were at the church building with the campus ministry, and we were supposed to have our Devo at Creefcore Lake, and I'm glad we moved it. But we're here, and the tornado sirens started going off, and, you know, Chanel was about to hop on her moped and go home, and I'm like, I ran outside. I'm like, you can't leave. The tornado sirens are going off, and she thanked me today for saving her life. But, you know, it was crazy. We had everybody back in that corner, kind of in that, if you call it a basement or whatever over there. And at one point, we're all there, we were singing songs and praying. I kept kind of looking outside, and then I felt the pressure drop. And you could feel it in your ears, and I was like, okay, guys, get down. And I didn't know what was going to happen next. And, you know, fortunately, the storm pretty much passed over. I mean, it took some limbs off the trees here. But then we talked to Nora on the phone, and she was at home with our kids and her two other young grandkids. And she said they all went down the basement. JT was just brave, helping with his cousins and his sister and helping her. And they made it down in the basement. And then after that initial storm pass, she said she went outside and there were some limbs down. And she didn't know exactly what the damage was, but she said, everybody's stopping to look at our house. And I thought, well, that's not good. And so we said, all right, Adam, take care of everything here. We're going, everybody's safe here. We're going home. And so I got there, and our house got hit pretty good. And I was going to share a few photos here of what I've been doing over the last 24 hours or so. That's actually from my roof, on the roof, all the trees that were on top of our house there. We had several trees in our backyard that ended up in our front yard. You can see a big one there. That tree right there in the front came from the backyard over the house. Our roof damaged, I mean, shingles off and holes in the roof. This was our front porch that one of the pillars moved about 6 inches forward. And then you could see the board there on the front, the soffit board or whatever was starting to rip off. And just another shot from the side of the house. But you know what? Oh, that's my neighbor's trampoline. It blew from his yard over his fence, over our 10-foot-high playhouse and wrapped around the maple tree right in our backyard there. But just amazing to see the power of God. But more amazing that storm traveled, what, like 20 miles and no one died. And it just shows you that God is in control. You know, through the storms, we sang a few songs, they talked about the storms, and God was never not in control. You know, we're praying to God, God, save us, take care of us, whatever. And the whole time, God's like, I got you. I got you. It's not your time. You're going to be okay. But you know, super grateful for all those that came out and helped us yesterday. But just grateful to be here this morning, just to be alive and to be with you. The title of the lesson today is called Useful to the Master. If you can open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2, in verse 20, it says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some are for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And today I want to talk about us being useful to the master. You know, for me, 22 years ago, I became a Christian. I went to a Super Bowl party at Nelson Wright's house after coming out to church that day, and Nelson asked me to study the Bible. We got together, we studied the Bible for 3 days, and on that third day, Thomas Rooks baptized me over at the old Skinker building. If you guys remember that, some of you might have been there. But you know, for the next few years, I was a faithful disciple of Jesus. Went to UMSL. You know, I was very involved in the campus ministry, served as a summer intern. But over time, I started to allow myself to drift from God. I started to not have quiet times as much, not pray as much, not be as involved in my relationship with God as I needed to be. During that time, my grandfather was also diagnosed with cancer. And rather than clinging to God, I pushed God away. I was living with my grandparents down in Overland here, and seeing him deteriorate, seeing one of my heroes just slowly wither away, just eroded my faith even more from what I was already doing to myself. So I decided, you know what, I'm done with church. I'm just going to go out and have fun and do what I want to do. I don't want to think about life. I don't want to think about it. I just want to have fun. And got into drinking. Eventually, that turned into drugs. At one point, I was smoking a pack a day of cigarettes. My life was full of immorality and deceit. And I know some of my family that come to the next service, they're going to be shocked by some of that because I put on a pretty good front. Still look like that same good kid, you know, that they knew, or quote-unquote good. But I wasn't who people thought I was. You know, like the prodigal son, after a few years of wild living, and with the help of Crystal, whom I'd married, I realized how far from God's grace I'd fallen. I realized how much I needed God and how much He wanted me. I decided to cleanse myself from those ignoble things in my life. Decided to once again be an instrument for noble purposes. And of course, I couldn't change myself. God changed me. But I had to be willing. I had to surrender my will to His will. And I still have to make that decision every day. Amen. It's not like I wake up and well, now everything's great and life's easy all the time. No, I have to make that decision every single day. Sometimes every hour, sometimes every minute, to say, I will be an instrument for noble purposes, useful to the Master. You know, my story goes to the extremes. It goes to the lowest of lows, and I had some high highs and some low lows. Some of my ignoble times were obvious, the partying, the drinking. But I believe if we're not careful, we can allow some of those ignoble things to come into our lives and not even realize it. The less obvious things sometimes that we allow to be in our characters and in our hearts. I think it's good sometimes just to stop and take stock of our lives. To ask yourself, am I an instrument for noble purposes? Am I useful to the Master? Or am I useful to the world? Because we're one or the other. Are you an instrument for noble purposes, useful to the Master? You know, some of the things that can creep in that maybe aren't so obvious. They seem like good things on the surface. Things like career obsession. Going after the climbing the corporate ladder. You know, well, a man's got to work, right? Got to support my family. Absolutely. But is that your passion in life? Things like hobbies and sports. Well, I want my kids to be well-rounded. You know, they need to do this. It's good for their character, right? What are they missing, church, for sports and hobbies? You know, do you have time for those things but not have time to study the Bible with a friend? Or to read your own Bible? Things like laziness. You know, one day I'll get around to it. One day I'll get spiritual and I'll focus on that. You know, when I get older, I'll do that. When I have kids, I'll do that. When my kids are grown, then we'll really do that. We'll really be freed up to love God and be useful to the Master. Things like sin, you know, vices, smoking and drinking, impurity, pornography. Do you know that every minute, $184,000 is spent on internet porn? Every minute. During this service, over $14 million will be spent on that. Is that an ignoble thing? Keeping you from being useful to the Master. You know, things like hatred or bitterness. Well, hey, I'm no murderer. You know, I'm not like that guy over there that did those horrible things. I just have some hatred. You know, I just can't forgive that brother or that sister or that friend for what they did. But Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, God won't forgive you. Do we have bitterness, anger, or hatred that's keeping us from being useful to the Master? Things like selfishness. You know, just being selfish with our time. Being selfish with our resources. I gotta hang on to what's mine. Being selfish with our talents. You know, there was a sister that sent me a message just this week, and a Pulse sister, and she just said, hey, are there any kids that need sponsored to go to Heartland Youth Camp? I want to sponsor somebody. Now, just her heart to want to be selfless. Hey, she went to youth camps. I want to give back. Amen. I want to help some other kid to go. Are we allowing selfishness to keep us from being useful to the Master? Things like idolatry. Allowing other things, whatever it is in our lives, to crowd out God. You know, Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Is there any ignoble thing that's keeping you from fulfilling the greatest commandment and being useful to the Master? You know, if we miss that one, we've missed the boat. You know, what's the point if we miss that one? Why are we even here? If we're not going to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, you know, let's go play golf or do something else. But let's don't play church. We've got to be useful to the Master. Things like possessions that can keep us from being useful to the Master. You know, the pursuit of those. Living for stuff. Living for the big screen. The big house. There are some big houses that are gone now. If you were living for that, it's pointless. It's gone. Nice cars, new phones, new gadgets, whatever. Are you living for that, or are you living to be useful to the Master? You know, and I would ask us this morning, what are you willing to do to cleanse yourself from the ignoble? What are you willing to give up to be useful to the Master? What are you willing to do? If you knew that you could save one soul for eternity, what's that worth to you? If you knew you could save two souls for eternity, or if you could save your family, you could send them to heaven. Jesus paid the price, but they need to know about Him. What would you be willing to do to be useful to the Master? I want to watch a clip from a movie right now. This is a scene from Schindler's List. And Oskar Schindler, he was a German businessman. He saved the lives of more than 1,000 Jewish refugees. He saved them by employing them in his factories. He just spent his own money to hire these people so that they would not be sent to camps where they would probably be killed. And I want to watch this clip right now. And as you can go ahead and bring the lights down, but as he's surrounded by all these people that he saved, look at his heart to see what could he do to save one more. Let's watch this.
I could have got more. I could have got more. I don't know if I just... I could have got more.
Oscar, there are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Look at them.
If I'd made more money... I threw away so much money. You have no idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Kurt would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. This is gold. Two more people. You would have given me two for it, at least one. You would have given me one more. One more person. A person who's there. For this. I could have got one more person. And I didn't. And I didn't.
You know, I don't share these things to make us feel guilty. I don't share these things to make you think I've got this all together, that I've got it, I'm always doing the right things and always making the right choices. I share these things as a wake-up call to all of us. To stop buying the lie that Satan is trying to tell us that we need the world. We don't need the world. We don't need it. And we've got to lock arm in arm. We've got to hold each other up and we've got to fight the good fight. The world is falling apart, guys. And God wants you to do something amazing with your life. God wants you to have an eternal impact on someone's soul. God wants you to focus on something that's not going to just go away when this world goes away, but something that you can take with you into eternity. Something that will change the world. And when I look around this room, I don't just see faces. I see instruments that God wants to use for noble purposes. Amen. I see instruments useful to the master. Hadrian Suber, God wants you. Dave Sharp, God wants to use you to do great things. Miss Lily, God wants to use you to do great things. Miss Lucille, I'm sorry, I called you Miss Lily. I got nervous. I've known Miss Lucille since her little kids. But you are an instrument for noble purposes. You know, Chanel Chabusky is an instrument for noble purposes. Chanel started attending kids camp years ago. Her parents weren't members of the church. Eventually, she moved on to Heartland Youth Camp, and then she began attending church here in St. Louis. Her mother followed her and started to attend church as well to see what her daughter was getting into. And then her mother was baptized. And then shortly after, Chanel was baptized. But you know, thanks to that faith that began at Heartland Kids Camp, Chanel is saved. Her mom is saved. A family is going to be saved because of one little girl. Chanel's two brothers are in the children's ministry. Chanel is useful to the master, and so are you. Right outside these walls, we've got a city with a lot of problems. And we got a lot of problems in here as well, but we've got Jesus that's working on ours, all right? But there's a lot of people out there that don't have Jesus. There are a lot of souls waiting to be saved. Marriages that will fall apart this week. There's parents that need the wisdom of the Bible that you have. They need that to raise their kids. There are young men and women out there that need the gospel before they destroy their lives. Our high schools need more young men and women praying in school and living their lives for God, not having sex in school, pursuing immorality, impurity. Our college campuses need more devoted disciples of Jesus on campus. People that wake up on Sunday morning and go to church, not wake up with a hangover and regret what they did the night before. Our goal here is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, there is much to do. Work on every hand. And God is calling you to be an instrument for noble purposes. To be useful to the master. I'd like to close out with a poem that I wrote called Useful to the Master. Once upon a time, in a nearby hospital room, a newborn baby graced the earth from his mother's womb. Content to sleep for now, he lay, sleeping ever faster, not knowing what his purpose be, useful to the master. The baby grew and learned of life, he learned of pain and joy, Those early years, they flew right by from infant, child, now boy. Too busy having fun to see what in the end will matter. One day when I'm grown, he said, then I'll be useful to the master. A strong man now he has become. He rules his world and castle. So many things he juggles now. His life is full of hassle. He thinks, tomorrow I'll focus on the things that really matter. No time to waste, too much to do to be useful to the master. An old man now, his vision faint, his deeds in life behind him. The demons that he never faced have all come back to find him. He longs to live his purpose now before he's put to pasture. But life has faded. He had his chance to be useful to the master. Then with a jolt, the alarm goes off. He jumps up with a scream. Cold sweat pours from his body as he wakens from his dream. It's just a dream. It's not too late. His mind and heart race faster. Today he will live his life for God, useful to the master. Thank you.